Well, good morning. It has truly been a blessing to be here this morning already. The words of the songs that we sang, they were just a tremendous, tremendous blessing to me this morning. I think each one of the songs had something in it that ministered to me. The Brother Chris was sharing about the presence of God, or him meeting with us, and I think of the song number 16, in the second verse, the first stanza there, it says, "Into his presence let us haste." And we heard the other Saturday morning, if in the presence of God there is no sin, and if we are in that presence, there will be no sin in our life either. And it says, let us haste. In other words, it's something that we do. God is here. God is there. He is waiting for us. We're not waiting necessarily just on Him. I had to think of that. I just feel a desire to have a short word of prayer yet before we start. Father, we bow our hearts this morning in Jesus' name and ask again, Lord, that You would take my lips, Lord, my tongue, my thoughts this morning, Lord, and that You would guide them. And only bring forth those things that will be edifying to each one that is here and that would lift you up and exalt you to your rightful place. Father, it is my heart's desire to just be your vessel, that no one is looking at me, but they are considering your word and that they are seeing you through your word and that you would be exalted, Father. We just desire that your name would be lifted up high this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As a brotherhood, as a church here, we're going through the book of Proverbs. And this morning, we are in chapter 30. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 6. And I'm going to read them and then we'll come back through. It says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ukul, surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended into the heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Up until this point in Proverbs, we have been reading, Solomon had wrote the Proverbs, but here in chapter 30, we have Agur, if I'm pronouncing it right, that wrote chapter 30 of Proverbs. And I tried to find a little bit of information of who he was or is, and there just isn't a whole lot of information that I could gather. But his name does mean to gather or a wage earner. I don't know if that will mean anything to us as we go on. The verse 1, it says, "The words of Agur, the son of Jake, even the prophecy." And that word, the prophecy, means a burden. This word is used 66 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, and 57 times it's used as burden. And I'm going to share two verses that have it in. Psalms 38, verse 4, it says, "For my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." And then Malachi 1, verse 1, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi." In other words, there was something upon his heart that he had to share. There was a burden. There's something in his heart and in his life that he wanted to share. And I'm not sure who the next two, it says the man spake, which I think is talking about Agur, spake unto Ithiel and Ukul. And I'm not sure if who these two men were, if they were his students, if he was a teacher they were his students, or if they were some people that were looked up to and he shared his burden with them. I'm not exactly sure who they were. But he had a burden that he wanted to share, and we'll read a little bit about it this morning, but we'll be hearing more of it in the next couple weeks. On to verse 2, it says, "Surely I am more brutish than any man." And this word brutish isn't the way that we use it today, or the way that I was used to using it. I don't know how everyone here used it, but the word brutish would have kind of used it like maybe like a bull that was just had a lot of power and anger, and he was just he was hard to handle, you could say. That's how, the way we would have used brutish, the way I would have learned to use it. But that's not what it means. It means senseless, stupidity, or ignorance. And I'm not sure why he would use them words other than, as he compares himself with God, this is what he comes up with, that he's just... Well, we go on with, it says, "And have not the understanding of a man." And as we go on, I think we'll, with the questions that he asked, I think this is the heart of him. That is the heart that is coming out, is that he is before God and he sees himself for who he really is. Understanding simply means wisdom and insight. He doesn't feel like he has it all figured out, but is very needy. And I had to think of a verse in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. And it's the same heart that Paul has. It says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." We see that heart in Paul as well. You know, this principle is throughout the Bible, that he who lifts himself up will fall. In Luke 14, it says, 14 verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." You know, this is a choice that we have. And this is where he's coming, as he's meeting here with God, this is where he's coming to. He's saying, "I'm a senseless man and I don't have any wisdom. I don't have any understanding," as he compares himself with God. And it's humility is a choice. We can do this in our own life every day. I don't know if I should share this or not. I had to think of a choice that we as a family had to make here. It's been a number of years ago. I don't know if you know how the Amish viewings are around here or not, but we were sitting in there where the family is, and since we're excommunicated, it can cause a little bit of stress, or a little bit of, I don't know exactly how to say it. But anyway, one of the ministers from the church came and asked me if we would go sit in the kitchen. There's somebody that had a problem with us sitting in there. And I only share this not to lift ourselves up, but just as a story or as an example maybe of what it has done. And so we did. We went in, sat in the kitchen, and never said a word, and knew very well who had the problem, and just loved them the same as we did before. And, you know, today they're very friendly. Today, we as a congregation have already went to their home as a church here, and we sang in their home. And it's all because of what Christ did. And if we can humble ourselves, what He can do through that. And I'm not here to lift myself up. I can tell you many times where I didn't do it. So may God help us to choose the low road, to choose to humble ourselves and allow Him to use us. Verse 3, it says, I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And again, I don't know what to say about this verse. Other than I think that his name indicates he's a gatherer. He was gathering information. He was seeking God. He was gaining knowledge of who God is. And as he did this, he found out that he really didn't know anything. He realized that he didn't really know anything about God. And I had to ask myself the question. And I want to ask you the question. What do you know about God? What do we know about God? I mean, we have His Word here. We see His creation. And in some words, we know a lot about God. And in other words, we don't really know a whole lot about Him at all. There's so much more that we don't know. In Numbers 12, verse 3, we read that, Now the man Moses was very meek, and above all men which were upon the face of the earth. Why was Moses called the meekest man? He spent a lot of time on that mountain with God. And he's seen God's glory like no other man has seen that I know of. And he was a humble man because of it. He humbled himself, and that's why God showed him so much of himself. Now, I don't know that Moses, I think the same thing is available for each one of us. I don't think Moses was just some kind of a man that God had special interests in. I think if we would all humble ourselves to the point of where Moses did and humble ourselves in that way, I think that as we humble ourselves, we will see more and more of God's glory, see more and more of God. And I'm not saying that there's a bunch of proud people here. That's not my heart. But my heart is there's always room that we can grow, to lay our lives down for others. What do we know about God? There's another question that came to my mind. It says the heavens are His stool and the earth is His footstool. And we have this telescope. America has this telescope out there in space, and they've looked far beyond what the naked eye can see. And all they see is more of what we can see here. Now, where is that place where God is dwelling? Where is that place that is called His stool? We don't know that, do we? And I think that as we consider questions like this, we see a little bit of where the writer of this chapter is, a little bit of his heart. He says in verse 4, Who hath ascended into heaven or descended? I don't know what to say to these verses. Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? And the word fist simply means the hollow of his hand. Who has held the wind in the hollow of his hand? And I think that as he was asking these questions, he knows that it's God. But what kind of a God must he be that he can do this? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? And I had to think, he never heard the story of how Jesus calmed a storm or walked on the waters. And yet he's asking questions like this. Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? Question came to my mind. Whoever told him that he had a son? Whoever told this man that that God had a son? This was before Christ. So, as he calls him, and then it says, if thou canst tell. And that word, and that them few words there means it's a relationship. I'm not exactly sure how that can all tie in here, but it simply means a relationship like a husband and wife. What is his son's name, if thou canst tell? It doesn't, as we consider the questions that he's asking, we would definitely not consider this man senseless or stupid, would we? But that God revealed himself to him, and he felt very small. Verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that trust in him. A little note on the word God here. Again, it reflects back to verse 4 of what he asks about his son. The word God here is in the plural form, but is singular in meaning. Who told this man that God had a son? This statement is very profound. Every word of God is pure. And the picture of the word pure here is that it is going through the fire. It's like metal going through a refining fire. And all the dross is taken away. And all you have left is a pure substance. And that's what we have in the Word of God. It is pure. There's no... Everything, it is pure. There's nothing in here that is not pure. Psalms 12, verse 6, it says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. I had to think of the... As I'm standing here, I think of John... The Gospel of John, the first verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with... Sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so this pure Word is God. Is God. And it goes on that says, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Now, can we separate these two? We're very quick to grab on to that. He is my shield. But can he be my shield if I am not taking God's pure word and applying it to my heart and my life? Can he be my shield? I don't think he's my shield, if that's the case. These two things here in verse 5, every word of God is pure, that statement, and He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, cannot be separated. The only way that the last part is available to you and I is if we make the first part a reality in our life. In other words, God says you can't love the world and Him both. If we love the world, He's not our shield. God says that we should have nothing but Him as the number one spot of our heart. He wants to be Lord of our life. Question came to me, what are my dreams? What are your dreams? Is God included? Every word of God is pure. If that is not a reality, then He's also not our shield. He's not interested in any excuses. He's our shield, our protector, and our refuge. If, and only if, we allow follow the pure word. And this, the picture that he gives here as well is it gives the idea that you are out in a hot desert and you're needing some shade. The shade is not going to come to you. You have to go to the shade. That's the picture of that verse. In other words, we cannot be under the protection of God thinking we're under the protection of. It is something that we have to seek continuously. It's something that we have to go after. It is not something that's just going to happen. It's something we have to do. The only way to be behind or under His shield is to find where it is. And it is with the pure Word of God. In verse 6 it says, add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We live in a world where man try to make it say all kinds of things, don't we? If we try to make it say something else than what it really is, we are a liar. I want to read a couple verses. One is in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2. Other verses that say that we shouldn't add to God's word or take away. Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, it says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Also in Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. What thing soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And then in Revelations we have another warning. In chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add these things, God shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. Very clear direction about the pure word of God. We can't add anything to it, and we can't take anything away. If we add anything to it, it says, according to this chapter, verse 6, it says, and thou be found a liar. In Revelation, it says that all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. So may God help us to keep His word pure as we have it. As we think of charting a course as a congregation, as a church, may God help us that we stay focused on the pure word of God. Thank you. God bless you.